Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode number 2 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. This is a continuation of last week's introduction in which I spoke about how the law of attraction led me to what I am calling magic with a K. And if you listen to that first episode, you know that I, like so many others, add the letter K to the end of the word magic in order to differentiate real magic from the illusions of stage magicians. And that I am borrowing from Aleister Crowley when I say that real magic is creating change in conformity with one's will. So continuing on with that introduction, this episode is basically a part 2 in which I will get more into the history with, my history, not the history. There's a big distinction. My history with Magic with a K. And I really thank you for bearing with me through 2 back-to-back introductory segments before getting into more topical episodes. I just thought it'd be nice to lay down some groundwork about who I am and where I'm coming from as a reference point before we really got rolling with topics like hermeticism and alchemy, tarot, the chakra system, and how all these things can interact with the law of attraction. I'd also like to make a note that this show, Hippie Witch, is primarily about magic, but that is not the bulk of my practice. I'm mostly just focused on being happy and being kind, going with the flow of life, and getting out into nature as much as possible. But I just find magic super fascinating and fun to talk about, and obviously it can be very helpful, but it's not everything. So having said that, let's talk about magic. And it's basically impossible for me to talk about magic or any subject really that I'm interested in without talking about books. I am a nerdy, nerdy bookworm. I have no coven or church or temple or any religious group that I'm affiliated with beyond YouTube. I attend the Church of YouTube. I love bouncing ideas off of other people there. I mentioned last week my Kick-Ass Witch YouTube channel, which is actually just under my name, Joanna DeVoe. But I also, Major Arcana TV is the channel where I talk more about magic and where I do video responses to other people talking about magic. So if you're interested in that, or you haven't seen that yet, you might want to go over there. But this is going to be my hub from now on. So you're in the right place. And I also, you know, like I said last week, I am a huge bookworm, but I really believe in going off the page and practicing what it is you've learned intellectually, because I really think that that's the only way to really learn and to really understand something is experientially. So, you can't really separate my path from the books that have shaped it. And, you know, that was in evidence last week when I got a request to post the books that I mentioned in that episode. So I did go back and list the books that I talked about, and then I'll just do that for this episode as well. And I also, before I get really into this, I have to mention that any dates that I talk about, they're just arbitrary. I don't know. When it comes to numbers, that's just not my forte. So anything to do with calendars and dates or complicated driving directions, taxes, divvying up a dinner bill, anything to do with money, it's just not my thing. So bear with me if, you know, my dates like move around a little bit. It's not intentional. I'm just sort of vaguely kind of recalling my past, which is checkered for sure. So going back in time to the mid to late 90s when I found Wayne Dyer's book, Real Magic, and started contemplating the idea of magic more deeply, I came across a little black book called The Book of Spells. And The Book of Spells It's just like a cutesy gift shop book. It's black with, you know, like an embossed cover, and then it's got this sparkly silver ribbon tie on the side of it so you can tie it up with a bow. And I really just was attracted to it because I thought it was cute and interesting. And it's so basic. It's, you know, the beginning of it has some basics on numerology and color correspondences and the moon and just kind of an overview of what magic is. But the bulk of that book is spells from all over the world. And really simple spells with some really beautiful pictures to go with each spell. It's like a little recipe book, and I have never done any of the spells in that book. Although I pulled it out recently and was looking at it, I was like, hey, these spells are kind of cool. Like, I might give one of them a try sometime, because they don't, just like with my cooking, you know, with magic, I like a lot of complicated directions and like a huge list of ingredients that I have to go out searching for. And this book is really basic. So maybe it has value beyond being like a gift shop book. But what's interesting about that book is I wasn't thinking at all about witchcraft when I bought it at the time. But I used to live in a one-bedroom apartment with my son, and my son got the bedroom, and I had this tiny little alcove, and the living room is my bedroom. It was just enough for, like, my twin bed to squeeze in. And there was, like, a window and then my bed, and that was it. And at the foot of my bed, I affixed a shelf to the wall, and I didn't think about it at the time, but looking back, I guess that was my altar. I had like a little Buddha statue, a picture of me on the day I was born. I always say that was my very first day on the planet. And then I had this spell book propped up there. And for those of you who know me, you know I've had like trouble kind of connecting with goddess energy. But what you don't know is that I used to sleep under a drawing that I did of the goddess. It said love goddess, and then it had this really cute little chubby goddess figure in the middle, and I used to draw that all over everything. I was really obsessed with this drawing, so maybe that was me subconsciously kicking this process off. And then very shortly thereafter, I found Phyllis Currit, and that was, I think in a video I did, I said it was the early 90s, but it's actually the late 90s and even early 2000s. I can't remember exactly which, but I got both of her books around the same time, Book of Shadows, which is an autobiography of how she got into magic. It's a fascinating read. She's a very smart woman. She's a lawyer in New York, or she was at the time when she first got into magic, and she's a little bit rock and roll, very contemporary modern woman. So I guess she's the first person that made me realize that you can be a contemporary modern woman and practice witchcraft. So I really loved that book, and then I went out and got her next book, which is Witchcrafting, and that is Witchcraft 101. It's like everything you want to know about witchcraft and magic. And I read that a couple of times, and what's really funny is that I wrote in that book. I write in most of my books. I underline the crap out of them. But in this book, I wrote all over it. I, like, was having a conversation with Phyllis Currit, and I would, like, argue with her about things. Or she'll have some long rituals, you know, the different steps of a ritual. And I remember writing, like, across one of those pages, like, whoa, this is way too long. And I, like, skipped, you know, I crossed out some of the directions and was just like, let's just cut to the chase. Because at that point, I had already started thinking about law of attraction and things like that. So, yeah. poor Phyllis, I wrote all over her book. So anyway, those three books, the Book of Spells and the two Phyllis Currit books, that made up the entirety of my witchcraft library until about 2008. And I didn't really have a ton of books back then because I was broke and I hadn't even discovered Amazon, their used book section, which I love. It's responsible for lots and lots of books that I have here in my house now. In fact, I don't even think Amazon existed at the time. It might not have. Anyway, but do keep in mind that during that time, I was busy studying topics that, while not labeled witchcraft, most certainly apply to a witchy, magical mindset. Topics like channeling, which I got into a bit in last week's episode. I was very interested in channeling. I practiced it a lot. I was good at it, so I enjoyed it. Also, like I mentioned last week, psychic development, and then yoga, Eastern philosophy, chakras and auras, and obviously the law of attraction, which is really still the cornerstone of my magical practice today. And two books that really stand out for me from that time period as being instrumental in terms of helping me make friends with the idea of maybe calling myself a witch one day are Energy Secrets by a talented Russian healer whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but you can get that on the book list after this airs. I'll go back and put a little book list in there for you guys on the Blog Talk Radio page. That book was instrumental in helping me to understand conscious energy work and using and moving energy around in a conscious way to heal, primarily to heal yourself. And the other book is Practical Intuition by Laura Day, who is not a witch. She calls herself an intuitive, but she does seem very witchy to me, and I really enjoyed learning about how to consciously tap into and use your intuition. I think she's a bit of a psychic, even though she calls herself an intuitive. And then that book led me to eventually go digging for and finding Deborah Lynn Katz's book, Extraordinary Psychic, which is, again, not about psychic, but for me, psychic development and witchcraft just go hand in hand. And I think that's always because I've just been naturally pretty psychic, as I think we all are to varying degrees. And so that's a subject that has just not only interested me, but it's a realm that I seem to thrive in. So I just kind of naturally gravitate toward that, like I think we all do. You know, if you're good at something, you enjoy it. And then you do it more, and then you get better at it. And that's why if you follow me on Facebook, you may have noticed some recent posts that I've done on Lois Bourne, who was a gifted psychic and a witch, and I only just found her work recently, but I was immediately hooked. It was love at first sight. The first book I got of hers was called Witch Among Us, Autobiography of a Witch, and I say that like it was a while ago, but it really wasn't. It was just a couple months ago. Oh, that book is so good. That's why I would like pause and like go running to Facebook to put little excerpts from that book up online, because she just has a couple of doozies that just really hit home. And so after I finished that book, I was like, oh no, I'm not done. I need more. And I went looking to see, you know, what else she has out. And her next book was called Conversations with a Witch. And I think it's out of print because it's extremely expensive and you can only buy it used on Amazon. But I went to eBay and got a copy for $1.50, and it's a very nice, hard-bound book. It's really a nice book, and it's equally good. And that book is her answer to all of the correspondences that she got from writing Autobiography of a Witch. And I totally understand why she was inundated with correspondences, because it's fascinating. And both books are packed wall-to-wall with these interesting little anecdotes about the various people that she helped over the years, both friends and strangers, using her psychic gift and the skills that she developed as a witch. And I don't think she ever charged anyone for her services. I think she just did it out of the good of her heart, and she called herself a white witch. Which is interesting because long before I ever went public with calling myself a witch, I used to call myself a white witch, like in all my journals. When you open my closet up, still to this day, I have this like little painting that I did calling myself the white witch. That was like my magical closet. And my husband, too, I would like say that to him, but he's the only person who knew that about me. But when I saw that she called herself a white witch, it kind of gave me a chuckle. So anyway, backtracking to what I said about those first three books that I had on witchcraft being the entirety of my witchcraft library for close to a decade, I have to say that during that time, my interest in the internet was really starting to take off, and I found this website called Sacred Texts. That is not sounding right. It's T-E-X-T-S, text. Sacred Texts is an amazing resource that allowed me to explore everything from hermetics and alchemy to shamanism, theosophy, all the world religions, and some really cool old grimoires from the late 1800s. And like I said, I don't even think Amazon existed at that time, so, and I couldn't afford to like go into a bookstore and buy a bunch of books, definitely not to keep up with my appetite, which was and always has been huge. So this was a wonderful resource for me, especially since I didn't know yet what I thought about witchcraft as something that I could actually take seriously and or if I even wanted to call myself a witch. And this site really helped me to like dip my toe into that pond in secret without anyone knowing what kind of craziness I was getting myself into. And if you want to go check out that website, it is still, it's a great resource, and I recommend getting yourself, it's free, you just go and you can read it online, reading the Kybalion, how do you pronounce that, K-Y-B-A-L-I-O-N, which is all about hermetics, which I'm talking about next week. I'm going to talk about how the law of attraction can work with the seven hermetic principles. Some people think they don't. I think they do, and I'm going to talk about that. And then I also recommend checking out Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Fascinating book. He kind of, in a much more scholarly, profound way than I do, is interested in what I'm interested in, is that it's finding the seed of the truth within all religions and how all religions relate. So that's a fascinating book. And they also have a Book of Shadows section, which is basically an online Book of Shadows written by a variety of writers, some that you may know. And that's a really great resource, too. And then in 2008, you know, many years later, I started studying and reading the tarot. And that's kind of what sparked me writing this novel, and that's the year that I started writing this novel, the first novel in a series of fiction that I still fully intend to publish one day, but I kind of put on the back burner to get Kick-Ass Witch going and to get that platform started, so I'd have like a nice hub to do all things creative from and witchy. But what's interesting about that is that I wanted, through a work of fiction, to explain how magic is very real and all around us, which is basically what I've been trying to explain for however many years I've been on YouTube. but I realized at that time that I didn't quite have the working knowledge that I needed to speak on it as an authority, and that I was definitely going to end up getting called out by people who could. You know, I was going to get my ass handed to me if I just started talking about magic and I didn't really know enough about witchcraft. So that's when I started reading about Wicca and witchcraft. I would say that was when I actually started studying it in all seriousness. At the beginning, besides finding it interesting and a good resource for my novels, it really didn't resonate with me that much on a personal level. Like, I wasn't feeling like, oh, yeah, I'm a Wiccan, which I still to this day don't feel that I'm a Wiccan, but it just didn't grab me on a personal level. It was more just research for my book, and I think that's because I was reading the work of some of the early founders of Wicca and some of the more traditional academic books on witchcraft. And I just found the content to be quite dogmatic in places and even condescending at times, which if you know me, I'm absolutely allergic to dogma. And I really hate when someone takes a condescending attitude. It actually makes me not trust them because I see condescension as being just like a red flag of insecurity. I think people that are condescending, they don't have faith in themselves and what they're saying, so they have to like put on, you know, like that extra bit of pride and ego, and I'm always very suspicious of that, so I'm not going to invest my faith in someone that doesn't have enough faith in themselves to just like tell it like it is on the level in a kind of down to earth way. Which brings me to Ellen Dugan. And I realized recently I have more Ellen Dugan books than any nonfiction writer, and that's saying a lot because I have tons and tons and tons of books, but that surprised me. But she is the first person that wrote about witchcraft, even considering Phyllis Curran, who I loved. She's the first person that wrote about it when I was like, oh, I could totally hang out with this lady. Like, I love her. She's so funny and down to earth and warm and friendly, and she keeps it real. There's no, like, highfalutin language. She's not talking down to you. She's just sharing her personal practice. And my first book of hers was Natural Witchery, and then I just kept buying more. The most recent ones I got, I bought her Witch's Tarot, and the book that goes with that, that describes each of the cards, is really good and interesting. And Seasons of Witchery, I love. That takes you through the wheel of the year. And then also around that time, some of the early YouTube pagans were getting my attention, you know, somewhere around there. People like Tiptoe Chick and Charming Pixie Flora. And then all of a sudden, you know, with Ellen Dugan and these YouTube witches, it all kind of came to life for me in a really fun, relatable, personal way. And I was like, hey, like, I totally love these women, and they're like me. And then that's when it became something that I could consider as part of my spiritual practice. That's what I related to. And then that kind of reminded me of the way that I felt reading Phyllis Curran's book, even though, you know, she was a lawyer and I sort of held her in higher esteem, I guess. But I was younger when I found those books. So I went back and read those, and I really enjoyed them going back through years later and reading the material, having a different understanding of magic and witchcraft. And then I eventually found other authors that resonated with me as well, and then I was just off and running, and I haven't looked back since. I recently found Kerr Kahulin. He has a book called Wiccan Warrior, and I actually got to interview him for my show Every Which Way, so go look that up. It's a really cool interview. I'm very proud of it. I was thrilled when he said yes. And the summer of 2011, I kicked off my official year-in-a-day studies. I wanted to have an official year-in-a-day studies under my belt, and I did that with two books that I think are, they work well together because they're from two kind of different perspectives, and it gave me like a more well-rounded perspective. And one is Marion Green's A Witch Alone, and her practice is very nature-based, and it's very much about getting in touch with nature, and I loved that. I also have her book, Natural Magic, which is a skinny little book that I recommend everybody go digging for. It's fabulous. I like it even better than A Witch Alone, although I love A Witch Alone. And then the other book that I did for my year and a day was Christopher Pinzak's The Inner Temple of Witchcraft. And I actually did a collaboration channel with a handful of other witches where we took that book, all 13 chapters, one lunar cycle at a time, and, you know, we discussed what we were learning. So that really helped the learning process to hear how other people were experiencing it and getting to bounce ideas back and forth. But don't go looking for that channel because you won't find it anymore. All the videos are set to private just because it was kind of a personal experience. And even though it was public at the end of it, you know, a bunch of people had already dropped off from the group, and I was kind of like the cheese stands alone remaining person, so I just put them to private. I also love Christopher Pinzak's book, Instant Magic, which is another skinny little book that I think is a good read. Other books that really resonated with me, you know, over the last couple of years are Diane Sylvan's The Circle Within. That book is very, again, she's just a down-to-earth person, and it demonstrates a very simple, practical practice that you can work into a busy modern life. She's also a wonderful poet. I love her writing. I actually have copied some of her poetry into my Book of Shadows because I think she is so talented, and I love poetry. I write it myself. So I'm sort of like hard on other people about that. But she kicks ass. She's a great poet. So I think the book is worth just buying for that. I really liked the work of Scott Cunningham, which surprised me because I don't know. I don't know what I thought that was going to be like, but I was delighted by it. He's got a nice conversational tone. He's not at all condescending. I'm not really into correspondences and all that, but I enjoy his books nonetheless. They're very earth-based, very nature-based, and simple, and I like that. Vivian Crowley's book, The Magical Life, is a book that I also really love, especially the first four chapters when she talks about like what her definition of magic is and her take on energy. I like that she tells little autobiographical anecdotes about her life and how she got into the practice. I find that very engaging and endearing. She's a Wiccan high priest and a psychologist, and I love psychology. That is definitely one of my passions. So I like the way that she describes magic because she'll often give it a psychological spin, which I fully relate to. I like some sections of Gail Wood's The Shamanic Witch and Silver Ravenwolf's Solitary Witch, which I know is so not cool to mention as an influence. But if I'm going to be honest here, I have to admit that it was an influence on me to some degree. I still flip through that book just for fun. It's just like a giant encyclopedia of all things magical. So you can just turn to any page in that book and there'll be something interesting and fun to read on. And I learned about the moon phases in that book and how the moon, like, rises at certain times in its phase, so where, you know, you can see it in the sky in the daytime, and it'll be in this direction or that direction or this low on the horizon. And that was exciting for me and my son, who is a big old moon lover. And she also helped me develop my own version of the Witch's Pyramid. I used that book as a reference and kind of tweaked the Witch's Pyramid and made it my own, and I will talk about that in the future in another episode. So anyways, I've come to realize that it's basically impossible for me to talk about magic without giving you a bajillion book references. And believe me, the books that I've mentioned here are just the tip of the iceberg. So, you know, when we get into the different magical topics that I'm into, it starts to get really long. So I will just try to contain it into categories and then, you know, dole out the book references a little at a time. And some of the categories I'd like to talk about are tarot and symbolism, heart math and alchemy, plants and herbalism, earthing and pantheism, among others. And even though law of attraction is the basis of the magic that I practice, I do call myself a witch. And for me, calling myself a witch is about aligning myself with the wise women and men of the past, people who were persecuted for being healers, herbalists, midwives, and counselors for their rural communities. Most of these people did not call themselves witches, but they were persecuted as witches. And some of them, which is just so heartbreaking and sad to me, were just widows living alone, you know, out in the forest. And how awful, you know, to have lost your family and be all alone. And then to have the townspeople come after you like, hang her, burn her, string her up, she's a witch. I just think that is so heartbreaking. And there's just like this rebellious punk rock. Oops, 90 seconds. There's just a rebellious punk rock part of me that wants to align myself with those kind of people. And I've always just kind of had this little old lady fantasy in my head of what kind of little old lady I would be, you know, one of those cool, mysteriously psychic, eccentric dressers who reads tarot cards and talks to animals and plants and keeps a really kick-ass garden. I'd love to be one of those. I'd love to be one of those people that could just go to my cupboard and pull out a potion for whatever ails you. So I guess this is really just the beginning of my journey, and I'm going to get to go into my 40s as a kick-ass witch. So that's I find that very energizing and exciting, and it gives me something to look forward to instead of dreading aging. So that's that. Next week, I will be talking about the Hermetic principles and how the law of attraction can work with them. Thank you so much for joining me for the second edition of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. And hopefully I will see you around next week. Much love. Peace.